Turn to Job in your Bible tonight, if you would please, chapter number 38. Job 38. I'd like to leave you a thought or two from this passage. Job 38, I'll read verse 4, and then a few more verses in this passage. I don't know how old the book of Job is. It's very old. There are reasons to believe that it's the oldest book in the Bible. It may predate the law because there's no mention of the law. It's definitely a very, very old book. And yet when you read it, you're impressed by their language. I guarantee you you'd be hard-pressed to find men with the vocabulary that these men have who are speaking to Job. So if you think we're smarter than people used to be, just read the book of Job. Just read how they talked 4,000 years ago. And that might be an indication. Job 38 and 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding." That's a rhetorical question from God to Job. Verse 18, "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" Verse 31. "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth," that means the zodiac, "in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons?" I want to talk to you for a few moments from this passage on the subject, beyond our control. Every now and then we need to be reminded that some things are beyond our control. I'll go further. Most things are beyond our control. In fact, we hate to admit it, but not many of us can see much more ahead than just a day or two. I'll be more specific than that. We know not what one day may bring forth. Not a one of us can even be sure that we'll be alive tomorrow. So we're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as in control as we think that we are. You read the book of Job, it'll humble you. It'll humble you. It'll show you that man at his best is insignificant. Man at his best is quite small, weak, frail, ignorant. The Bible, all of it, especially Job, will humble your pride. It'll cause you to pray. Now, everything in this world is just the opposite. It's to make you proud. Fill your mind with knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. But as Adrian Rogers said, a man with knowledge without wisdom is just a clever devil. True, isn't it? You're just a clever devil. But the Word of God will humble us, and the book of Job will humble you. And God's humbling Job here. He asked Job 70 questions that answer themselves. Rhetorical, that means they answer themselves. Remember years ago, I was in Washington, D.C. I was wanting to ask Jesse Helms a question. And everybody else raised their hand, and he called on them first. And he finally called on me, and I got to ask him the last question. I forget what the question was, but he said to me, I was just 17, "Young man, that's a rhetorical question." And he didn't even answer it, because it answered itself. So I learned the hard way on that one in front of everybody in Washington, D.C., that I learned what a rhetorical question was. It answers itself. And God asked Job these questions. Like, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? That's rhetorical. That's obvious. I'm God and you're a man. I know everything. You know nothing compared to what I know. You haven't been where I've been. I like what God said to him about the lightning. He said, can you control the lightning? Canst thou send lightnings? Verse 35, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. I like that. Every time it lightens, the lightning says to God, here I am. Where do you want me to go today? Amen. That's the Bible. Is that in your Bible? That's the Bible. You're a man. You know nothing. I'm God and I know everything. That I know that didn't help your ego any, but man's just a fallen, mortal, sinful creature. We're nothing. I didn't even get an amen. But it's still the truth. We're nothing. Next time you think you're smart, you just tell yourself where you were when God created the earth. You wasn't even thought of, was you? Job, can you control the seasons? How about the sun and the moon and the earth? Are you the one spinning them in their orbits? Can you control nature? All these are rhetorical. In our text, verse 31, the Lord says, Job, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Or can you loose the bands of Orion? That's what we want to zero in on tonight, this text. Now, these are clusters of stars and constellations, specific stars. You know how many stars there are? Every time they count them, there's more than there was last time. Not that they're being formed, but they're just able to look out a little bit further. Right now, if you were to read an astronomy magazine, it would say there are 200 billion trillion stars. That's 200 billion a trillion times. We can't even calculate that. That's beyond, far, far beyond us. And yet the psalmist said God has them all named. I didn't say numbered. Named. Job, you don't even know 200 billion words. But I know 200 billion trillion names of stars. I'm God. You're a man. You're nothing. Pleiades, what's that? Pleiades, that's a constant, a cluster, sometimes called the sisters. I think in the book of Amos, the seven stars. Then Orion's a constellation. Now, Pleiades is often associated with good weather, and Orion's associated with bad weather, and that's the way we want to go with it. Good weather and bad weather. Good days and bad days. Summer and winter. Smiles and sickness. You know, life's a mixture, isn't it? If you told me you didn't have any trouble, I wouldn't believe it. Man that's born a woman's a few days and full of trouble. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. The Lord said way back in Genesis 8, long as the earth remains, there'll be spring, summer, there'll be harvest time, there'll be winter, there'll be heat, there'll be cold, there'll be night and day as long as the earth remains. Genesis 8, verse 20. The Lord called it seed time and harvest, summer, winter, and so forth. So we thank God for the spring. If we had our way, I'm sure most of us would say I'd like for it to be spring all the time. Yeah, about 70 degrees in the day and 50 at night and short sleeve weather and everything. You know what? You know what the price tag that comes with good weather and high temperatures? Anywhere you go in this world, and they always have a lot of tropical weather. With that, it comes screen doors and bugs and all kind of reptiles. When we lived in Ireland, You don't even have to have air conditioner. It don't get hot, and there ain't no mosquitoes, and there ain't no flies. But there's no warm weather. But you get the warm weather, and you're going to have scorpions crawling around, and you're going to have snakes crawling around. So you only think that you want it to be tropical. You just ask the people who live there. They'd like to. You'd ever talk to the people in Florida? When I'd preach in Florida, they'd say, we like to get out of here. We like for it to get cold every now and then, because when it's hot every day, you don't appreciate it. Some of you are saying, I'd like to try. But we'd like to bind the sweet influences of Pleiades. We'd like for it to be springtime all the time. But that's not the way God set it up. We love the spring. We all love the spring, I think. When the earth seems to come alive again, and the birds are singing, and the flowers are popping their heads out of the earth, and there's new hope and there's life again. Seems like we've been in the prison of winter, and we thank God for the spring, but this verse says it can't last. Your life's not always going to be spring. There's going to be tragedies and sorrows, and you're going to have to know what to do. And you're going to get old, and you're going to die one day. You better get ready for that too. It can't always be spring, though we wish it was. Job, can you make spring? Wouldn't you just love to bind it? Wouldn't you just love to lock it in and say, no, nothing else but spring? But Job, you can't make it happen. You can't stop it from happening, and you can't make the winter come, and you can't stop it from coming. Job, you just can't do nothing, can you? You can't even make it rain. And for all our vaunted wisdom, we still cannot, we have no cure for the cold, and we can't even make it rain. And as smart as we are, and I just read recently, scientists still do not dare to give a definition of life. We still don't even know what life is. Any scientist who would dare to define it would be laughed out of his profession, because it's a million times more complicated than we ever thought it was. So we're not so smart. Not like we think we are. Thank God for Pleiades, but Orion's got to have his turn. Orion's got to have his season. The winter's got to come. The ice has got to come. The snow. We're so puny. We can't control nature. Some of us can't even control our own tongue, let alone control the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that right? Some of us have been saved 100 years. We still can't control our tongue. Anybody saved here tonight? We're not in control. God sends the frost and the rain and the tempest, and he's got a time for it and a purpose. And I'm just glad that we're flying through the space tonight at 1,000 miles an hour. I'm glad God's at the steering wheel. Amen. We'd mess it up, wouldn't we? You say, if I had my way, it'd be sunshine all the time. Yeah. There's a place like that. It's called the Sahara Desert. Sunshine all the time makes a desert. Next time it's cold, say, God, thank you for the cold. Thank you, you're in control. And Lord, and it is what I do, and I'm colorblind, I can't tell colors, but even sometimes at night when God puts on the color show and the sky is so beautiful, I say, Lord, I don't know what color that is, but that's pretty. God didn't have to do that. He made the grass green. The scientists found out about 20 years ago that green is the softest color on the human eye. Well, God did that on purpose then, didn't he? Aren't you glad the grass is not orange? Yeah. Aren't you glad the sky is not black or pink? He does all things well. I'm almost done. I'm just telling you, God's in control and is working it all for our good. And he knows how much sunshine we need. He even knows when to send the wind to break off the dead limbs. There's some trees they can't grow unless there's a forest fire to free those seeds. enough rain to hydrate the earth. He's doing it all well. He's doing it all well. If we didn't have storms, we wouldn't pray. Some of us, we didn't have storms, we'd be backsliders tonight. God hadn't sent a storm in our life to get our attention, to turn us around, to show us our frailty and our need. He knows how many storms and how long to make them last, to humble our pride and teach us to pray. And if something makes us humble and it makes us pray, it must be good for us. It's kind of like your medicine. The worse it tastes, the better it's doing for you. And God knows how to do all that. And there's lessons to be learned. The Christian life is a school. What grade are you in? What grade are you in? What if you got a report card? What would it look like? Spiritually. Do you ever think about David when he was out there running from Saul? Do you know he was a better man on the run than he was when he's sitting on the throne? So it was good for him. It was good for him to sleep out in the cave and put his head on a rock and have to say, God, spare my life. There's a man out here trying to kill me. He was a lot better man on the run than when he was the wealthy, famous king, guilty of adultery and murder and pride. So if you're having a hard time, just maybe God's trying to make something out of you. You're probably a lot better Christian in the hard time. Most people can't take a lot of success or things. It makes them distracted and proud. I know David was a better man when he was a man on the run. So God's always teaching us if we're listening. Tears can teach us. And sickness can teach us. I used to teach a ladies' Sunday school class way back, I don't know, 35 years ago. And I remember some of our, an older class, and some of them got sick and they couldn't come to church. And I didn't understand. You know, when you're 17 years old, you don't understand sickness, really. Not much. You can't identify. But God let me get sick there one time for a week or so, and I couldn't even get out of the bed. And I remember saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here? And the Lord said, I just want you to know there's some people that can never get out of the bed. And I have been a different person since that time. That's right. And I headed off to the rest homes and the hospitals. And as a 17-year-old boy, and I've been visiting them ever since. And if God let me get sick to open my eyes to the way some people have to live. And if you're always healthy and got all you ever want, you don't need God. I'm just telling you, God's trying to teach us sometimes through the hard times and the sickness and the failures and the heartaches. And how in the world can you identify with somebody if you never had a heartache? It didn't look so rosy for Joseph, did it? Hated by his brothers and sold into slavery, but wasn't God working a mighty big plan? And didn't he pass from the pit to the pinnacle? Thank God in his winter was long, but the springtime came too, didn't it? And thank God the flowers bloomed again. I'm just telling you, you're not in control of very much. Which means you're going to have to trust somebody bigger than you. But that's okay. That's all right. After we've had a long winter, it makes us appreciate the spring, don't it? Isn't everything a little bit brighter after the rain? Isn't home sweeter after the journey? We used to be gone the mission field for years at a time, and they'd pick us up at the airport and drive us to Taylorsville, and I noticed everything different, every new store, every new house. It was like a brand new world because I hadn't seen it in 5 years. And home is dearer after the journey. And rest is sweeter when you wore out. And the winter is so much more wonderful. Or spring is more wonderful after the winter. And food is good when you're good and hungry. Problem with us, we never get hungry. Quit snacking and get real good and hungry, and you'll eat anything. Is that right? Sure it is. That's right. Here's four things I know, and I'm done. Number one, I know that God is good. Number two, I know that nothing can touch me without God's permission. Nothing. Number three, I know that the trial of my faith is precious. And if it's precious to God, it ought to be precious to me. And number four, I know that God is too wise to make a mistake and too loving to be unkind. And that's some things I know. And a lot's out of my control, but it's not out of His control. And I can't bind the sweet influences of Pleiades. And I can't control the weather and the bad and the good and the hot and the cold. I'm just a man. I'm just a sinner. But I can trust God. All I've seen teaches me to trust Him for what I haven't seen. Amen. And I can trust an unknown future to a known God. And He's a great God. He's a great and awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing God. I like what Teddy Roosevelt did one night. He and a friend were at his home there in New York, Saginaw Hill. Is that Long Island, Brooklyn? Anyway, they're looking at the stars. They kept looking at the stars, looking at stars on purpose. Teddy Roosevelt said, "Look at this, look at the stars." And after 15 or 20 minutes, Teddy Roosevelt, the president, said, "We can go in now. We've been reduced to our proper size." Amen. That's good. You're not going to get in much trouble thinking lowly of yourself. If you think high, too highly of yourself, you're ruined. Did you hear me tonight? As the old people used to say it. You're ruined. This book will keep us right. The right spirit and humble and usable before God. You say, that's a strange message. Well, was that in the Bible? Did I read that out of the Bible? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's come and pray. As many as can and will.